I can see, you know, people now, they, if you talk to somebody every day, you know, and you, well, they know that you get off at 6 o'clock in the evening, you know, you can talk to 7 and you can still get plenty of rest, you know.
That's true.
You know, versus when I was young, I had to climb up at Lockwall to go get on a payphone.
Yeah.
Then next thing you know, she wasn't home. So that was a wasted trip.
Right.
And, I would have been fine with a cell phone,
right,
you know, back when I grew up, but it just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have my first phone until I was 31 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was that Motorola bag phone, if you know what that is.
Yeah, like the old.
It was an old bag phone, and the reason I got it is because I was working on a boat, and whenever I was gone, I wanted my wife to have a phone of some sort.
Yeah.
Because we had our first baby girl.
Right.
And that's what she used, was that Motorola bag phone.
It was kind of just for emergencies, right?
Yeah, because it was very expensive, too.
Right.
You just didn't want to use it all the time, because it was very costly. You know, that's another thing. You're talking about wages and stuff, benefits.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. Since I grew up starting young and the way it is today, it's the money that's made out there. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge money. I mean, I started out as a pilot in 1988. And then 1988, I made $154 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was happy with that, you know. But,
yeah.
And then it went on up, and in a 5-year time, you know, I was up to, I think, $250 a day.
Really?
Yeah. I changed jobs then, and to another company. And then when I did, my goal was to get, and this was in 1996 or 1997. I thought I'd be happy when I get to $300 a day. I'll be happy. I won't ask for nothing. And I was up to $325 then, and it's only went up.
Yeah.
You know, but there's people, you know, right today, making $700 a day with full benefits, full retirement, full pensions. And
what drove those wages up so fast?
Supply and demand. You know, I mean, needing pilots, I mean, because they, that's what happened. I mean, bottom line, I mean, it's just, you don't have that many, you got so many different areas that we run on the river. You got your class of Ohio River pilots that you need. I mean, then you got your lower Mississippi River pilots. They take bigger tows. You know, just because they take bigger tows and bigger boats, you know, this is one thing I've learned being shoreside and in management too. I don't care what you can do, but it takes all of them to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always told guys here, you know, I said, you just remember the guys that's coming off these locking rivers. I said, if it don't take two or three of those boats, if they can't get these barges down to Cairo, I said, that's gonna put you behind. So it takes them in order to make their big tows that they get. You got the upper Mississippi River, which is harder to run. You know, you got boats that's gotta stay up there, then like Illinois River. All of that stuff eventually feeds down to Cairo, St. Louis or Cairo, to feed the bigger boats, you know. And it takes everybody just to make it go around. You know, I don't care who you are. If you make $800 a day just because you're on a big boat, this dude making $7 running up here, he's just as valuable.
Right.
You know. But no, to answer that question too, it was supply and demand, for the simple reason we didn't have that many experienced mariners out there at that time, and we were losing them. I mean, there's a lot of them that have retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, we got hit hard that way because I lost like 7 at one time. And seven that had 30 plus years each, you know. And now we're slowly working on that, but what I've seen change here too is that person that worked, you know, the 30 plus year guy, for him to work in the wheelhouse, you know, it took him several years to get up to that class of boat or whatever, which now, I mean, we're seeing people move into these positions that's only been doing it 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, I mean, I like where I work at for the simple reason that we are going to train them. We're going to train them right. and we're going to make sure they're doing right. They're going to have a background check. Sport captains are going to check on them. But one thing in the industry, I'm not throwing rocks at nobody by no means, but there's a lot of people get thrown to this too quick.
Right.
And just keep in mind, too, that every time that there's an accident, you know, something happens. I mean, that's just where these new regulations and stuff come out with us, you know, in the Coast Guard and stuff like that. But
so I've heard that before, that there's, you know, there's a lack of experience currently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there seems to be a gap. You know, where are the guys with 15 years? If the 30-year guy is retiring, where are those 15 to 20-year guys?
Yeah, to me, what I'm seeing is, you know, I've been 32 years in the river now, but I don't know, for some reason it just slacked up so much. I don't know if they've done, if any of them are passed or whatever, you know, but mm-hmm. some, I know a lot of them just hung it up because it was kind of burnt out.
Did some of them come to shoreside?
Some came to shoreside,
yeah.
Well, a lot of them came shoreside too. But I don't know, there was just, after that, it wasn't that many people that moved up that fast.
Right.
You know, and now, I mean, the people that are my age are the ones that's trying to get the people going again, but yet you got a abundance of people that's only been in the wheelhouse 5, 6, 7 years and stuff, and versus somebody that 25 years, you think, well, yeah, just let him go wherever he wants to.
Right.
You know, it's not that way.